So how do you take them out of their game that way? You try to force them to defend.
You work so hard. Now I have this feeling of really what it takes to get here. You got to go through an 82-game grind to put yourself in a good position, and we have done that.
You know, if we can win pucks and have it more, then that's what they got
to
do.
You take a second to be excited, realize what you've done as a group, and then you kind of put it on the back burner and you get ready for this season.
Far circle now, Heinen. High slot. McAvoy near circle now. Krejci centers. Fought for. They score! David Backes shook off a check, threw Hainsey inside, and then powered one home. Get out, scream! Back and they score! Brad Marchand lifted one over Anderson. A power play goal!
We were ready, we were on time, and we're energized. Winning pucks, getting it behind their D, that the way you want to play early on, put them in uncomfortable positions and try to tilt the ice.
Far corner now, Marchand. Fired by Pastrnak, didn't get a lot on it. Stick save Anderson. Marchand, around a check. Pastrnak rips one, he scores!
Let's go, Bruins!
Brad Marchand, puck retrieval right circle. Escape the check. Hit Pastrnak, tape the tape. He wires it inside the near post. 3-1 Bruins.
We want the cup.
Here's Chara back of his net. He'll roll it up the left side. Over the line, far side. Pastrnak with a step. Cuts in. Shoots. Up the post. They score. Sean Corrali fouled up the play. The puck ricocheted in the air. And he's been watching some baseball because he batted it home. 4-1 Bruins. Far circle now to Brust. Left of the net, Krejci. They score! David Krejci may have banked that in off of Freddie Anderson. A power play goal. 5-1 Bruins. And the Garden will stand to its feet. The Boston Bruins have taken game one of this opening round series decisively. 5-1.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program, and there it was last night. The Bruins get away with one.
They sneak out of the Garden with a win.
No, they did.
What?
5-1. Oh, yeah.
Huh?
They played terrible for about 20 minutes. They got very lucky.
First 10 minutes, they were dominant.
The second
20 was a little shaky.
A little shaky?
Yep.
They got through a very vicious power play without playing good defense, and we're very fortunate. Very, very fortunate.
There were a couple of plays.
Hang on, stop. They were fortunate to get out of that game? Is that what you're saying? They were
fortunate to get a win?
The game was a lot closer than the score indicated. I'm not sure the Bruins were fortunate to win.
That should have been 6-1.
It wasn't a 5-1 game.
It should have been 6-1.
Well, then you weren't watching close.
Well, it wasn't a 5-1 game. I agree with Fred on this.
No,
it was a much closer game than that.
Okay, then it was a 4-1 game.
They missed. Toronto missed open nets. Listen, I'm happy they won. I thought it was great. I want them to win the series. I absolutely do. They got very fortunate. You can call Jaffe right now and ask him.
There were a couple of bounces, and the players will tell you that too. Especially Marchand said it afterwards. It wasn't, they didn't think that they had an easy time at all. Marner beat Rask and slipped one right through the crease behind him. And then there was, I think it was on the Toronto player power play where Bozak was alone on the post, had a shot, actually got stuffed by the post. And missed a follow-up also.
Toronto could have made it a lot closer.
The Bruins played better, and they deserved to win,
but it wasn't a 5-1 game. But if Toronto scores one of those goals where they dominated for 20 minutes, dominated the Bruins.
Okay.
If they score one of those goals, it's a completely different situation.
As Jack Edwards says, if ifs and buts were candy and nuts, every day would be Christmas.
All we're saying is it wasn't a 5-1 game. That's all we're saying.
Yes, it was a 6-1 game.
No.
They scored a goal and they called it
Rich,
off.
Why should we even talk?
But to say they squeaked by and they were lucky to get out of there with a win is insanity.
Okay.
You could say that there was a period of time where they were outplayed, and you're exactly right. I mean, you're right, for 20 minutes there. And Tuukka Rask, there's a couple times where I can't believe that he wasn't scored on. It was that period, was the beginning of the second, where they just came out lethargic.
5-1-5.
I understand that. But
this
game
was even through the first 15 minutes of the second
period.
But
on special teams, they killed them.
Special teams, they played much better.
No, sure. That game was very close. 10 minutes into the 10 after the last 10 minutes of the first period, they were dominated. And they were dominated.
First 10 minutes of the second period.
For a third of the game, they were dominated. For the majority of the game, the Bruins were by far the most physical team, by far the most skilled team out there. And their defense at times was a sieve. So, I mean, for you to come out and just say that they squeaked by and this was like they're lucky to get out of there with that win, that's insane. Now, it's going to be a series. I'm not saying that you can read anything out of, you know, from
this
that
doesn't,
person.
This doesn't mean the Bruins take this in five. But,
it's going to be
matched.
A series. But to say that they're
fine.
lucky to get out of there.
What do you want me to do? Okay. You're right. I mean, what do you want me to do about it? That's my opinion.
It was a closer game than the final score indicated. Toronto 5-on-5 was even with them before things got away from them in the third period. Bruins played very well. All I'm saying is don't be fooled. When Toronto has the last change, I think you'll see more from and Austin Matthews was completely shut down last night. Let's see what happens when he gets away from that Bergeron line in games 3 and 4.
Well, if Kadri gets suspended, then that's going to hurt.
It depends on for how long it is. I'm thinking maybe one game.
It's going to be one game because it's the playoffs. I mean, that's
maybe
hurt
one
him.
Game. I'm happy they won 5-1. They looked great at the end. The third period was a throwaway as far as I'm concerned. I think Toronto just, you know, downshifted a little bit. But in the end, I wouldn't read too much into this. It's one game. It doesn't mean anything for game two.
Here's what I'll read into it, and that is there were questions going in for the postseason or from the end of the season the last 2 weeks as to whether or not this team, that was truly who they were, or whether they took the foot off the gas. Obviously, that was the situation where they were saving energy. I mean, they were back.
Rick Nash got right out of the box
and was effective. Brad Marchand was in midseason form. I mean, David Krejci, everyone that you expected to play or hoped would play as well as they did during that tear in the middle of the season, or actually until the last 2 weeks, played exactly that way. The stars stepped up. That first line was unbelievable. The special teams was great. I mean, there weren't a lot of things that you can point at and go, wow, I wish they would have played better. But, I mean, as a whole, you realize that end-of-the-season slump that they went through was just that human thing that everyone has, mm-hmm. that you need to save yourself, and sure enough, they came out of the box.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk.
I thought you were going to talk. Fred, John and I have just been talking for like 3 minutes.
I thought you were going to say something.
I got nothing. I mean, I told you that they were fortunate to come out. I've been shut down. I got nothing. Okay. You two talk about it.
All right. No, the power play was great. Rick Nash, I was very surprised that Nash looked like he had missed any time at all.
I thought he wanted to prove something,
I thought there would be some rust there. There wasn't. Tuukka Rask made a couple of blocker saves early in the second period that really saved them. And here we go. I'm very happy that they started the way they did. It's the alternative.
And on top of that, I guess Kadri is indeed going to be getting a phone call today. They're saying that's official, so he's going to be talking to the...
It was a cheap hit.
It was awful.
A cheap hit along the board. He deserved to get suspended. He deserved to get tossed, and he deserves to get suspended. I think he was still frustrated from the earlier penalty call behind the Bruins' goal.
No idea why he was targeting Wingles like that. I have no idea why that was.
I don't
was
think it had
guy.
Anything to do with Wingles.
They did it twice.
Yeah.
On Wingles.
I didn't see it. Wingles might have hit somebody high with an elbow, but in the end, it didn't merit the retaliation it got.
Kadri was completely BS afterwards, too, when he was asked about it. He just made up the scenario in which he hit him. He said that he was still playing the puck at the time when the puck was nowhere near him. And just he painted a picture of something that happened that
not
never happened.
Not on that boarding call. Nope. Maybe he had a beef with his original penalty call about 4 minutes earlier because the puck was there. He made a run. Who did he make a run at?
Wingles.
It was Wingles.
Originally behind the net? Was that
yes.
Wingles?
Well, he got a 2 minute and then the 5 minute.
The original 2 minute.
Was against Wingles.
It was Wingles.
Okay.
It was boarding and then he got charging the second one. So there you go.
Yeah. Yep. So it's going to be a situation, too, where, and by the way, afterwards, you know, everyone seemed to agree that, and Cassidy played it, he played it about as well as he could. He was like, I think that the 5 minutes is exactly what he should have gotten, and the NHL is going to have to, you know, take a look at it after that. And it's nice to see Marchand getting under their skin, and boy, they tried to do everything to get him to do something stupid. And at least yesterday, there was a little bit of restraint. At least the kind of restraint that's not getting him any kind of penalty minutes, and I'm glad that he didn't lose his head. But boy, did he piss them off last night. Who was he kissing? Was it Komarov yesterday? He was like kissing him on the neck.
That wasn't yesterday. That was a replay from earlier this year.
No, that was yesterday. That was yesterday during the game.
I didn't see it.
No, it wasn't.
Fred, it was.
I didn't see it.
He kissed him. Rich, go do the show.
Fred, he asked about it afterwards and answered a question in the post game of why he kissed him.
Good.
What do you mean, fine? I'm just correct. You're trying to correct me, but I'm telling you, no, that did happen.
Then I'm wrong.
Yes, you are. So afterwards, they asked him about it, and he said that I think I might have the clip if Nick has put that in because Mike is out this morning. So, but he did kiss him, and afterwards they said, well, I thought that when the whistle was blown, he was getting a little too close. So I said, why not give him a little more love?
There it is.
Yeah, yeah. So he went up, and
okay.
It was in the first period.
I didn't see that part of it.
Oh, yeah. Kissed him right there in the neck.
Nice.
Give him a little nuzzle. And he's done it before, but you're right about that, Fred. He has done it before, but he did it again last night.
All right, here's the CBS Sports Minute with Boomer, brought to you by Jeff Carbone Insurance.
Toucher and Rich.
Are you kidding me?
Toucher and Rich.
Embarrassing to America.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed. It's Toucher and Rich.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Rich, what happened last evening?
Well, I guess the Bruins are ready to play after all.
Here's Chara back of his net. Tailed by Van Riemsdyk. He'll roll it up the left side. Over the line, far side. Pastrnak with a step. Cuts in. Shoots. Up the post. They score! Sean Corrali fouled up the play. The puck ricocheted in the air. And he's been watching some baseball because he batted it home. 4-1 Bruins.
Did you see the picture? It might have been the Boston Globe that they got of that, but it's essentially Corrali with his a foot on Anderson's back, and he's just popping it in like it's like a baseball swing. It was just one of the cooler looking goals last night. But after 2 weeks of will they be able to pull it out of their slump, end of the season questions, the Bruins return to midseason form in a big way. They dominate the Leafs in game one, 5-1, the final score. Although they're saying it really should have been 6-1, the dumb, stupid, visually impaired refs. But it was a game where we saw stars play like stars again, including Brad Marchand, who got things started for the Bees in the first.
Krug wheels his way in. Feeds left circle out in front. Backhand, they score! Brad Marchand cut into the left circle, darted into the middle, and lifted one over Anderson's stick. Tucked it inside the near post. A power play goal. Bruins with a 1-0 lead over the Leafs.
And that power play goal from Brad Marchand was just indicative of how good the Bruins special teams were all night, as they got power play goals from Marchand, Backes, David Krejci, and their penalty kill blanked the Leafs 3 times. But then, when things started to look good for the Bruins, things also got a little ugly.
Far wall murder. Met by Chara and Wingles.
Oh.
And then Wingles got drilled from behind by Kadri, and Wingles is down.
That's a major on Kadri. No question. Left his feet, jumped on the play, and Wingles was already partly down on it.
Just a ugly hit. So right now, Kadri's going to be facing supplemental discipline from the NHL Department of Player Safety. They say that he's going to be having a call today, which is usually reserved for suspensions of 5 games or less.
Yeah. In the playoffs, everything is reduced. I mean, you really have to do something bad to get suspended from multiple playoff games.
More than likely, what's being tossed around is 1 to 2 games. But you're right, seeing that it is the playoffs, probably more than likely one.
That would be my guess.
So he knocked Tommy Wingles out of the game. They got a 5-minute major out of that. And Kadri is... obviously, a little delusional. This is Cassidy on how things went afterwards and what he thought of the Kadri hit.
Still being evaluated, so I don't have any further update there. I thought it was the appropriate call. I thought it was a five-minute major. Where it goes from there, out of my hands.
And as far as the players on the ice, Patrice Bergeron was asked about what he thought and whether he thought the hit was dirty and what the punishment should be. And, of course, he was ever the diplomat.
Well, I think it speaks for itself. I don't need to say if I'm mad or not. I think, you know, we all saw what happened, and hopefully the league takes care of it.
Now, if Kadri's out, that's obviously a big deal for the game or two, wherever he's suspended. He had 32 goals and 55 points for the Leafs this past season, and obviously in the power play, he has been one of their top performers for Toronto. So if it's a one-game suspension, or matter of fact, I've even heard some speculation that it would be up to three, I don't believe it's going to be that strong. As you said, in the playoffs, they tend to lean back a little bit. But here is what Kadri's view of the entire scenario was and what happened on the ice.
Well, initially, I mean, I just felt like he made contact with Mitchie's head to start, and I didn't see a call there, and he was turning up the wall, so I was committed to the hit, and then he ended up falling. I mean, it happened pretty quick, and then I think he was reaching for the puck, so I haven't really watched it yet, but I don't think I stuck my leg out or my arm out or whatever the case is. But, I mean, it's in the hands of the NHL at this point.
First of all, obviously, about three out of the four things he mentioned happened there didn't happen. But he is not getting a whole lot of support even from his team. Although here is Mike Babcock, who the man is stone-faced. Has anyone ever seen him smile, ever? Any expression other than the one of just, I'm observing what's happening in front of me?
No.
None whatsoever.
And by the way, Kadri led the team in power play goals during the regular season.
Yeah. It will be a loss if he gets suspended. So here is Mike Babcock on what happened with Kadri.
Also, just about Naz, his hit, the NHL has told me they're going to look at it closely, whatever that means. Played with an edge.
By the way, stop the tapes. Could you stop that? That is a reporter who obviously is someone very pro-Toronto. It's like, they're going to look at it, whatever that means. Well, I think you know what that means. They're going to see if it's suspendable. But listen, Babcock, be my friend, please. I'm one of the 11 who's here. Can you talk to me instead of the other 10 beat reporters we have in Toronto Sun? I'll kiss your ass more than everyone else.
Also, just about Naz, his hit, the NHL has told me they're going to look at it closely, whatever that means. played with an edge, played with emotion, but maybe he got away from him?
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't looked at it enough either, and so I can't really comment on that. We'll let the league do what the league does. The bottom line is you always got to be disciplined at all times, and I think emotion's real important in the game, but it's got to be controlled.
Okay, first of all, he's not Canadian. That gentleman doesn't sound Canadian at all, Mike Babcock. And by the way, when he would speak last night, I would just go, okay, yeah, okay. He had a little Mr. Mackey in him. So afterwards, there was obviously the Bruins were very happy with themselves and the way the game went, but they know that this is not going to be an easy road. Afterwards, as we were talking about at the beginning of the game, Komarov was, I guess, trying to get into Marchand's head, and so Marchand ended up kissing him on the neck. He was asked afterwards, what was the deal with that? And here was Brad Marchand's answer.
I'm not trying to get into his head. You know, he kept coming after me at the whistles and stuff like that every time he was going to the bench. So I just thought that if he wanted to keep touching me, that we're going to go closer than he may want to.
Just give you a little smoocheroo.
Well, for game one, everything is fine. We'll see what happens when we get to Toronto.
It will be interesting. Once again, this is it's definitely going to be a series. I was extremely bummed. By the way, this kind of pissed me off. So yesterday we were talking about on the show how NBC and was going to have the post game stuff with Tony Amonte and Felger, and I begged them. I was like, okay. Since you're going to be down at Causeway, you got to open up the shades.
Mm-hmm.
You got to make sure that the people are banging on the windows. We can see all the stuff that we usually see. That's one of the best parts of Bruins playoff hockey was during the 2011 series when it looked like Felger was going to crap himself because he thought the window was going to come crashing down. And it got Amonte swearing. And even yesterday, NBCSN tweeted out this video of like, you know, no better time to tweet this out. You know, the place is going to be going crazy. So I turn it to the post-game coverage. They're not even at Causeway.
Where were they?
They did it
back
in the
studio.
They were in the studios
that's
in Burlington.
Crazy.
What are we doing here? Like, why?
That's a Felger thing. I'm if you're telling me they weren't down there, that's a Felger thing. Felger's like, there's no way in hell I'm sitting in the middle of that.
What a tease. Because yeah. it was not only that, okay, they weren't at Causeway, which why have the studio if you're not going to be down there for the playoffs? But then they tweet out a video to make you think that, oh, here we go again.
Yeah.
And sure enough, judging by the recaps that we ended up getting from last night, there would have been a decent amount of banging on the glass, which I thought would have been great. But instead, they end up going back to the studio in Burlington, and Amonte, once again, looking very, very svelte. He's just he's out there. He's actually, you know what? For the first 5 or 10 minutes, there was no sweat, no visible sweat. So he hung in there for a few. And then, of course, it was a situation where I think that just the lights get a little too hot. They also had Megan Duggan. Was she the captain of the women's Olympic team?
I'm not sure. I think so. I'm not sure, though.
All right, she was there. Yeah, she was fine. I was bummed, however, that we did not get – that we were robbed of our Doc Emrick fix, because I know that he called it for NBC Sports or NBC Sports Network, and because of the whole Nesson thing, it was blacked out.
It wasn't.
Oh, it was not?
No.
Oh, because I was told that it was.
I know it was on.
But did you see Doc Emrick?
Yeah, I watched it on that network.
Oh, okay. Well, damn it. I had everyone telling me yesterday that it was blacked out, so I watched it on Nesson. Well, it's good to know. So at least, I don't know, maybe we'll pull some Doc Emrick goals. There's nothing better than hearing Doc Emrick call a goal. So we will we'll play some of that audio in a little bit later on. On top of that, we also have some more fallout from the Kadri situation. We will get into that as well. And what happened with the Yankees and the Red Sox yesterday. There was a storyline that I completely missed yesterday involving the fight in Game 2 of the series. And that is what was going on with the third base coach of the Yankees, Phil Nevin and Alex Cora.
Yes.
Did you see any of that?
I did.
Okay, so that guy's like still butthurt that Alex Cora was giving him crap.
Nevin was a psycho when he played. And you would think now that he's a coach, he'd kind of downshift a little bit.
All right.
Nope.
All right. Well, we will get into that as well as some more of the stuff that happened yesterday with the Bruins. And there is a little bit of NFL news that we need to get to. Joe Haggerty is going to be in studio with us at 7 o'clock. And he will obviously give us our opinion on what's going to happen with Kadri and how long the suspension will be. And all of that other stuff right after John Wallach's headlines.
It's T&R, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Toucher and Rich.
Okay, keep doing it.
Yeah, turn it up, baby. What is it?
98.5 The Sports Hub. Be listening this morning at 6:50 for your chance to score a $100 gift card to the Under Armour brand house inside the Prudential Center to celebrate Marathon Weekend. Get ready for Monday with free Under Armour cheer cards and thundersticks while supplies last.
Look for the giant chest. You'll know you're at the right store. There's like this massive torso when you walk up.
Oh.
It's very, very strange and kind of sexy.
Mark has called in over 3,000 times.
Hello, Mark. Is this Mark from Medford?
What's up, guys? Steak and eggs, guys.
What's up, man?
Rich, I got to agree with you. Never in my life have I heard somebody say that a team was lucky to get out of there with a 5-1 win because that's just asinine. I agree. But the Kadri hit, he got a match penalty. So isn't that an automatic suspension?
In this case, they're trying to figure out what the level of suspension, like whether he's going to get two days, or I've heard all the way up to 3 games.
Yeah,
he might end up getting.
He came from about 30 feet away and then launched himself.
Yeah. I mean, so, right. He left his skates.
At least 2 games.
No, he didn't come from over 30 feet away, and also it's not an automatic suspension if you get a match penalty.
That's what I just read the rule.
It's not an automatic suspension if you get a match penalty.
The rule states it's not only is he ejected from that game, but it's suspended indefinitely until the commissioner rules.
Yeah, no.
That's today.
Right,
no,
that's
kidding,
not the case.
Mark.
Yeah, Mark, what he's saying is if they sit in their hands, obviously you can't play until they rule, but they're going to do that today.
Yeah.
So it's not an automatic one game, but once again, the speculation is that it could be anywhere from 1 to 3. So
he's definitely going to get at least 2 out of this. I see it coming.
I don't know, man. The playoffs are different.
They got Drew Doughty the other night.
Yeah, he got suspended him for a game there, Mark, from Medford. Good job. Good call.
So, lots of information there. I'm glad you called 3,000 times. Continue.
Okay. So it's going to talk to him because he's usually very negative about the Bruins.
Well, no, he wasn't there. He had all the answers.
It means they've won him over.
He had all the answers.
Because he hates Tuukka Rask, too. So I wanted to see what he thought of Tuukka's performance yesterday.
Right. Well, he can listen to every other show and get his opinion on Tuukka Rask.
And get his fix. Well, on the other side of the city, Rick Porcello yesterday, he was a bad man. As we have fun with sound clips. There you go, Dan. We got it? There you go.
Crowd making some noise. The 2-2 coming. Got him! He struck him out!
So he took a no-hitter into a rain delay after five innings and then surrendered two hits but no runs through seven in the Red Sox 6-3 win to clinch the series. Unfortunately, what happened yesterday was something that I think was a scary moment, but apparently from the news that we heard last night via Twitter, this might not be as bad as we all thought it could be.
Got his first win of the season on Saturday. Beat the Orioles 8-3. And that went inside and hit him. And Hanley got tied up as it ran in. And they're going to send him on to first base. The trainer will be out to attend to Hanley. We'll see if he's okay. That'll put Red Sox at first and second, but Hanley's in some pain.
Yeah, Hanley Ramirez right in the hand. He ends up leaving the game. But thanks to the miracle of Twitter, Hanley Ramirez tweeted last night, quote, "Han should be okay. Thanks for all your messages. And the boys won again. Hashtag 10-2, baby."
X-rays are negative. Always a good sign.
So we will see what happens there. You know what? Go ahead and skip to the Cora clip, if you don't mind.
Right.
Alex Cora was asked about the situation with Hanley and what he knew at the time.
Day to day. He was pretty sore. Actually, I think it hit him in the left one and then hit him in the right one. So... I'll talk to him tonight. Most likely tomorrow, we'll give him the off day. You know, play Mitch, and then make a decision. But I got to see where he's at. But the training staff, they feel probably one day we'll help him out.
All right. In Major League Baseball, handed down some suspensions yesterday from that fight that happened during Game 2 of the series. Joe Kelly has been hit with 6 games, Tyler Austin 5 games, and then as a follow-up on David Price and what was going on with his hand, apparently everything's all better. He said he knew when he woke up that yesterday morning that he was feeling better, said he's since he was a kid, his hands and his feet have sometimes lost feeling when it's cold outside. He was asked if it was a circulation
issue.
Called
standing outside in 30-degree weather without gloves for too long. That's all it is.
Just weird.
Nobody
man.
Else on the field seemed to have problems with this.
It is kind of funny, man.
Very bizarre.
It's like this team is doing everything they can do for you to like them again.
Yeah.
I mean, from like playing with fire under their ass to just the way that they're winning these games. And then you got David Price, who's just peeing in the cornflakes, just ruining it for everyone with quotes like this. So either way, I guess he's fine. His hand got a little cold. So we will hopefully see him back. I guess he's projected to make his next start. Yeah, I can't stand that guy. It's like one thing after the next when you start to really, and it's not going to spoil me from liking the team because I think this team, other than him, is extremely likable, especially when you got like Rick Porcello, who has been lights out over the his 3 starts that he's had so far. So there you go. And then you got big problems between Alex Cora and Nevin, the third base coach, and they're still yelling at each other. And they're for some reason, that might have been the one thing that I had no idea that actually happened during the fight, but that made me laugh the most. So Nevin's running around, and he's mouthing off to Alex Cora and some of the other coaches. So Cora goes back into the dugout, and Nevin's still yelling at him, and you can read his lips, and Cora keeps going, "Back in your box. Get back in your box." And he's using his little hand wave. "Come on. Get back in your place. You know where your place is." And Nevin's all butthurt about the entire thing. He said, "When I was on the other side, I saw a gesture made to me." I need some Hacksaw Johnny Gomes music here. He said, "Well, maybe I saw it wrong. If I did, then I guess those things happen. But that's what set me off. I saw something that was directed to me when I was back out at third. To tell somebody to go back in their little box when everyone saw that, that's pretty unprofessional."
All right.
Well,
that's fine.
Are you going to talk all day, little doggy, or are you going to bite?
By the way, news about Johnny Gomes. He's going to be calling some Red Sox games. They're headed to the West Coast. We're going to get extra Gomes. Gomes is taking a leave, I guess, of absence from his job as hitting coach of a rookie league team for the Arizona Diamondbacks.
The Sox go west. I think they play the Angels to start. I believe Gomes has those games.
Well, it seems like, you know, how is he possibly available? Like,
that's true.
Like, I, for some reason, I have a feeling that they paid him a lot. And by a lot, I mean not paying him at all.
Yeah,
they, and just mentioning his name.
They just wanted, they decided to get make everyone else look better. Sean, go ahead.
Yeah, I want to kind of piggyback on top of what the last caller said, because he kind of stole my thunder, but I think you guys are minimizing the cheap shot last night with that hit, because, I mean, if and he brought up Drew Jowdy too. If you watch that hit, that's marginal to be suspended at all. What happened last night, and I'm not a footy pajama Patriots fan or a green teamer. I'm a hockey fan most, so you can call me probably the most objective type of Boston fan or whatever, but you launch yourself like that at somebody in that type of prone position where you could literally end somebody's career. If that's in the regular season, that's at least five games. So I don't see how you guys can think that's just going to be a one or two game suspension. That's got to be at least three and probably more.
Well, I think we're also going to have to find out what the condition of Wingles is and whether he's going to be available for game two, because that's going to obviously
be factored
in.
I get that part of it, but it's the intent. I mean,
and it was the second time that he hit him.
The same guy three minutes beforehand.
Right. Yeah.
And it was an obvious intent to injure. I mean, there's no wiggle room for that. I mean, that's not.
No. It was an intent to injure. You're right. He didn't come from 30 feet away, but it was an intent to injure.
That's the last caller did. I'm just saying.
No, I know that. I'm agreeing with you. It was a exceptionally dirty hit. It was the second time in a span of minutes that I have no idea why they were targeting Wingles. None. I have no idea what Kadri was so upset with Wingles. And hopefully he gets suspended for three games. I just don't think he will in the playoffs, but he has every reason to be suspended that long.
Yeah,
right.
If you can take the best power play goal scorer that Toronto has off the ice for multiple games.
He's their second defensive.
Fantastic.
Second line center. Stanley, go ahead.
What's up, Wallet? Good morning. Good morning. Morning, Rich.
Great.
Sorry for you boys. Fred sounds really aggressive this morning.
I haven't talked barely at all.
I know.
So how is that being aggressive?
Woo. You guys have a good morning, all right?
Oh, good. Thank you for the phone call.
Stanley.
Good job, Stanley. I've been a real chatterbox today. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, Fred.
Yeah.
Stop talking.
Yeah,
Stop talking so much. You're ruining the program.
I apologize for going on and on and on. All right, we have your chance at the $100 gift card and so much more. We'll be right back.